Very interesting. That's the one that didn't get recorded.
We're discussing Tootsie.
You say Tootsie.
Presents are Richard,
Mary,
Steve,
Lenore,
Jane, and it's Tootsie.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mary.
George,
beautiful.
Mark.
You saw that.
I did.
You start.
Give her the ball.
Did everybody see it?
Everybody, I think so.
Wow.
Well, a movie like this, no matter what I think about it, I appreciate it because I see a place and a time that I haven't seen before. So that's one thing.
It's a really good point.
Yeah. So, and some things about it did disappoint me, but I thought it was very good acting. I'll start out by talking about the performances. The main person, the woman with the child, some of the other gang members. I thought really across the board, the guy in the wheelchair, fabulous performance. But there's something overall about the movie that I wasn't satisfied with or happy, or it didn't seem like a major film. I wasn't thrilled.
Ditto.
I thought that the thing that I was able to identify, the thing that I wasn't satisfied with and didn't find it, and I found it lacking in it, is that it just seemed, the plot seemed a little bit far-fetched, a little bit, you know, like, I just couldn't see this guy taking this baby out of the car and taking it and caring for it, and, you know, it's going to be my baby, and I'm going to take care of it, you know. And then him getting away with it, you know, walking around and the baby not crying.
Yeah. They say the baby in L'Enfant cries even less. Never cries once.
Yes.
Is he dead?
But I can understand. I can totally understand how a baby can change your life. I was going through this period in my life where we were evicting this roommate who was a drug addict and just a real kind of Presidio Heights kind of sociopath. And it was really stressful for me. And some friends of mine had a baby, and I babysit it. And it changed my world. Just you know, being with that infant and thinking of the life that it's going to have and imagining that, it changed my world and got me through that stressful period, and it did change my life. You know, so I can understand how a baby could make somebody change that life, but I couldn't see this guy taking the baby into his life in the first place. I just couldn't see that. And there were other things I couldn't see later on, like him going back to the house, what is it, two or three times then, you know, it's just like, you can buy toys in a store, you know. Why do you have to go back to that house to rob the to get baby toys? And so that's the problem I had with it.
Well, one thing about going back to the house, I think he just wanted to see where the baby came from, and that's why he wanted to. I think he was just, I kind of looked at it like he was living his childhood or whatever happened to him when he was a little kid through the baby again. And that's why he was so interested in the baby. And that's why it was believable the way he treated that baby and wanted to keep that baby and didn't want to give it up and wanted to take care of the baby, and it was his baby. But the problem I have with people making transformations like this in movies like this, it doesn't happen that quickly.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part to pull off. And they kind of did it somewhat, but this guy doesn't transform this quickly. But you almost get the feeling that, I did at least, that this was going on before this movie even started. That he was already going through some kind of process of what happened to him when he was little and how everything and what would happen in the movie came about.
Yeah, I agree. You kind of had to emotionally read backwards as well as read what was happening and what could happen forwards. Actually, the term for that is he really identified with that baby. I mean, almost from the start. I guess I had to read it in between the lines that he took the baby because he knew or was pretty sure that that car would get stripped and or burned, you know, that whoever got to that car before the police wouldn't know there was a baby in the car, and that the baby would have been hurt or killed.
Or wouldn't have cared.
Or wouldn't have cared, yeah. Right? Because that thing, you really get that flavor of the, what's the word, you know, like the darkness in the, you know, that some people in that environment are capable of. Well, you saw some of it, but you could read that even worse things could happen. And I felt the same thing. I have been to South Africa, but you know, I wasn't there very long, and I didn't go anywhere near
the townships. Yeah.
I mean, you would be afraid to go. Mm-hmm. This is before the end of apartheid, so in a way, it was even more true. But I appreciated getting the chance to go there.
Mm-hmm. And he was ambivalent about taking the baby. He kind of went back and forth.
The baby was a good actor. In that scene, the baby was
very placid.
He was sedated.
They were twins. They were always sons. They were always twins. But thought that they were
twins. One thing that I had a real hard time was with the baby when he was brought the baby first back to his place, and the baby was really freaked out, and the baby with ants on his face. Mm-hmm. That was not acting. That was not a stand-in. That was a baby, and that baby was traumatized.
Excuse me. I read about that. They did it in such a way that we're not real ants on a real baby. I forget how they explained it.
Okay.
But no baby was harmed in the corner.
No ants were harmed.
Maybe a few ants. I don't know, but no babies were.
That was pretty disturbing.
Wasn't the ants that were so disturbing, but when he picked up the baby person and the baby was just like freaking out. I mean, babies do that, but I can't see subjecting a baby to that.
James says,
would you care about monitoring?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure the baby cried occasionally. That was real.
So it's best.
But I don't think there were real ants on the baby. It looked awfully real, but they had some way of doing it. I forget what the explanation was.
I had trouble with one thing. I generally liked the film, but I thought it was too small and predictable. It was predictable, pretty much, for me. But it was kind of a small, old story. The change of heart and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But films like this, the colors were so beautiful, and the music was so symphonic, and all of that bothered me. I thought it was extra. It was too much.
Oh, they made it too beautiful?
Too beautiful, I thought.
Smaltzy.
Pardon?
Smaltzy.
Yeah.
That
was
excellent.
I did.
Wasn't it? South African,
yeah, it's all South African music and the rap. The person,
no, no, not that music.
Oh,
no, the symphonic kind of music that came in
to control your emotions.
Yeah, that kind. That kind, not the local music.
I remember the local music.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
I mean,
I think that still was South Africa. I think it was all indigenous music.
No, absolutely not.
How do you look at the credits?
No, I heard it. I was there.
No, but I stayed for the credits, and it seemed like...
No. There was a lot of local music.
We believe you wrote it.
Yes.
Weren't you there?
It didn't register with me.
Usually I'm aware of that, and it irks me when the movie is just a little bit pretentious, a little bit, and the music's coming in, and I can feel the music's there to move me a certain way, and I really resent it, but I didn't
hear
it.
You
know, and even though I was feeling a little bit that way about the movie,
then you were enthralled.
But I was aware of the music. I definitely heard
of what I'm talking about.
But I heard the music, and I felt that it was fit. So
I wasn't involved. I love the cinematography.
It was beautiful. Well, beautiful, but not making the slums beautiful.
No. It's almost like
almost like surreal, like City of God.
City of God.
Yeah,
connect
is very clear. Oh yeah, it was very.
But there's a word for it in still photography when you think something a little bit brown.
Sepia. It's almost like a sepia. Sort of. Yeah. I just want to say that it is based on a short story, and it felt like a short story. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a short story with kind of an ambivalent ending, which I like about short stories. I think short stories make better films than novels.
Much more.
I thought you were going to take your voice out.
Sorry.
And I think that it's a short story by Eva Fugar, who is a very, very great writer and playwright, I believe, too.
Yeah.
I've seen his other plays. So I'm just always pleased when something is from a short story. It just feels like Brokeback Mountain, exactly. Mm-hmm. This is the year of the great short story film adaptations. And I think in that way it was nice. I just, something about the ending and something about, something, like I said, left me unsatisfied. And I don't know what yet. What people are saying is sort of it, but I'm not sure. George had
it. He had his hand in.
Oh, sorry.
Well, he's already
spoken. I'll be quiet.
He's spoken enough.
Yeah.
I agree with a lot with what you said. The acting was really impressive. It's his first acting job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also the young girl who took care of the baby. Mm. And the mother, I thought, was really good, too. The mother of the child who ended up in
the
wheelchair.
Oh, the one who shot in the leg.
I made the mistake of eating a big lunch before going, so I kind of nodded out in the middle of the film.
Oh!
I'm going to be one of those people who does that, so if you ever see me sleeping in the theater, hopefully I won't get to the snoring point. So I kind of feel like you do too in that I wasn't completely taken by the film, and it won Best Picture, and I like Paradise Now, which really impressed me a whole lot more.
It got Best Picture.
But that's extremely political.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not that big, that best, is it?
No, that's that's one of the things that it just didn't feel like a Best Picture.
Do you agree with, did you see Paradise Now?
Yeah. More interesting. And I think the Italian one was nominated too, or at least it was Italy's.
Don't tell. Actually, all
those ones are much, much better.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll find out.
Oh, that's right. Don't tell.
What Jane was saying a while back about you had to go back emotionally. There was one scene where I thought could have sold me on the transformation of this guy. The scene after they've killed the guy on the subway when they're in the bar, and the former teacher student. Student teacher, brings the point up to him that we didn't have to kill that guy.
Did this happen right at the beginning?
Yeah.
Because I missed the first part.
Oh, no.
Did you see
the murder on the subway?
Oh, you're so lucky.
It was brutal.
It was ugly. And
In that scene at the bar, if they had done some kind of business, some kind of acting business or something, to show that the gang leader, Totsi could have... had misgivings about that, but there was nothing in his facial expression or in anything he said before or after that bar scene that said he was remorseful about that.
He beat him up, right?
What?
He
beat the crap out of him. But you could see I've seen in other movies and other stories that sometimes when people point out to you the fact that you did something really bad, you get really angry at them, but you're really angry at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see that in this acting performance or the dialogue that was happening there. And that would have gone a long way into convincing me that this person could go through that transformation. All I saw was that stone-faced character.
But he is a cold-hearted killer at that point.
Yeah, but can't go from a cold-hearted killer to that kind of a transformation. You can act like a cold-hearted killer and have a heart inside of you, but on the outside be a cold-hearted killer. But in something they could have shown that there was a heart inside there, and the cold-hearted killer was this the facade. Otherwise, the transformation just doesn't ring true to me.
But Tatsi himself didn't actually commit the murder, right? It was his.
No, but he brutally, brutally.
Yeah. And it was clear he had done other murders, and he was heartless.
But in the bar, I'm not sure, but when he was berating Tatsi, didn't like one of the last things he say have his name David in it? And that's what
yes.
Finally, after all that, and then he, on top of it, said David, and that brought his all his feelings about his family and everything there.
Yes,
and that's I think true.
That guy knew him in the past, in the past.
Yeah.
Wasn't one of the scenes right after the fight when he left? Didn't he have a flashback to when he was a little kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right after someone brought his name up, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think it was about the name.
Then I missed that.
Mm-hmm. And that would have that would have kept saying, "Don't you have a real name?
Yeah,
right. I have a name. So see, what's your real name?
Right.
Like, you know? Thug is not a real name.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It was like he had this gang name, and he, And I think you're right. I think that is where he.
Maybe.
So Boston had information about him. Boston was an interesting character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Boston was very interesting.
Okay, that guy in the wheelchair. I thought he was a bad character, and that. And that again, that felt like a scene from a really good, play or a really good short story. I mean, that just was very well.
The lighting of the subway scenes and afterwards reminded me of that documentary shot totally underground.
About the homeless people.
Yeah. And there are times I still think about that film. It's just I
think it is on DVD. Yeah.
But that the whole shots of that really reminded me of that the whole feeling when you exit the theater from that film.
Can I ask a technical question? Well, not a technical. Since I did miss the first 5 minutes.
I'm shocked.
That guy who was murdered.
Thrown out of
what?
In your house?
In your house?
Before the beginning?
Oh! What
next? What next?
Jane has a question. Jane has a question.
Bylaws with this group.
Is the guy who they murder in that first scene, does it turn out to be the husband of the...
No,
because he was a teacher, remember? And there's a picture of him in her home, and they talk about... And
he never showed up.
Now I see why. There was a look on Sotsi's face when he finds that out, that it made me wonder if...
When he finds out what?
That she had a husband... who was a teacher who'd been murdered on his way home from the school.
The woman.
Caring for the baby. Okay, but it must have resonated to him in his mind.
Sure,
He probably remembered that.
Or just all the people he killed.
Right. He remembered all the people that he killed.
That's how I had dialogue that her husband... What could just have easily been some
people he killed.
But their gang killed. Yeah. That's what they did. They just picked people off.
So emotionally, I got it right.
But I do think, I mean, not to give you a hard time, but I do think the first scene really set the tone for the film, and it was brutal, and it really spelled it out, how brutal these guys were and what they would do for...
Except for Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, he didn't participate?
Well, he was ambivalent.
But he was the one who questioned the whole thing. And he
Right.
The other guy spelled it. He said, I bet you can't spell it.
Right, you can't spell it. Mm-hmm. Oh, and he's really interesting. He's a huge rap star.
The other chief, the other gangster?
Yeah.
Leader?
He's a huge... Most of the music was his.
Okay.
He's a huge music star.
Which guy? His best friend?
No, the leader of the gang with the cars.
The richer one.
The one coming to my gang.
Fella or Paul?
Yeah.
Fella.
He just has one name. He's like,
I must have slept through a lot.
Not remembering
anything. He's not a major player, but he's in it.
He shows up.
He shows up.
Playing cars and stuff. Yeah.
He's got a huge chop shop business, and he's a bigger gangster. Like, he's got babes. you know, these guys don't have babes.
Kevin Porter.
Right.
Yeah, no, he's the one that's more like a classic gangster with them.
I will say that, I mean, from the beginning, I was like on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, where can they go with this?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Hearing all these comments and yours especially, I think you said it, the change was too much too quickly. Mm-hmm. The transformation mm-hmm. was too much too quickly. Giving the money to the man in the wheelchair, mm-hmm. and forgiving him and caring for the baby and crying at the end for the baby.
Yeah.
In 3 days.
I believe that he cried at the end. That part I didn't feel like he was crying for the baby. I thought he was crying for himself.
Yeah.
Well, look at Crash.
And he's
going to
spend the rest of his life in jail. I mean, it's not like he's not like a redeemed in jail.
Yeah.
Like he's going to go free.
He's going to jail for a while.
He's going to go to jail. He's going to African jail for the rest of his life. So it's not like it's a happy ending or anything.
No.
I didn't have a problem with that. That's why I thought it was. I know. I just kept thinking I wanted to read the short story because I have a feeling maybe it's one of those things that would resonate in a short story, but just doesn't on the screen. It seems too fast.
Mm-hmm.
But,
that would be interesting to read.
Yeah, I definitely want to read.
Well, that's
it.
The thing that
bothered
me about Crash. All that took place in 36 hours.
Yes. But Crash wasn't about realism. Crash was like a theater piece. Like
that's why when I saw it the second time,
everybody
didn't transform with Crash either.
No, a lot of people didn't transform.
No.
But
the ones that
something
did
happened.
Were...
Yeah. Yeah. Now it was extremely artificial in that theatrical way. But I liked it better the second time.
I ran it the other night. I got to a certain point and I had to stop, and then so I tried it again the next day and I got the same point. I had to stop and realize I can't watch it alone.
Because
I just a patient of what's gonna happen and who's
because you never
have seen it.
You've never made it all the way through. Oh, okay.
What spot do you stop at?
Yeah.
Oh, right when Lawrence Fishburne gets out of the car and he's going to face the cops, and he's just been driving crazily around the streets with the two guys who carjacked him. So the husband of the movie producer.
That's not Lawrence Fishburne. That's Terry
Howard.
Terrence Howard.
That's Mr.
Hustle
and Flaw.
Yeah,
because Lawrence Fishburne.
He's not in it.
Terrence Howard.
Talk
about the actor of the year between that film and Hustle and Flaw.
Why did I
never
see Hustle and Flaw?
I saw it.
That would have been a good discussion.
It's hard out there for a pin.
It is hard out there for a pin. It's on, too.
So anyway, I don't know if he gets blown away or not. Uh-huh. So.
They won't tell me.
It is a good movie to see with a crowd, or at least with somebody, because you want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I remember you saying that people left the movie theater talking, and that's so unusual.
Oh,
and that's why they got it at the Balboa. As soon as it won the Academy Award, they booked it for the next week because they wanted people to see it.
Mm-hmm. It's a really big screen film.
Yeah, on the big screen, and then talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I saw it 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I went home from that and just thought, why bother trying to write a screenplay?
I was just devastated.
Then I went and looked at the guy. Oh, he's been writing for 3 years.
Okay. I know. But it is beautiful.
Paul Haggis.
Haggis.
So Saucy's finished.
Yes, we're
finished. Are we done,
Tony? Sounds like it.
So did anybody?
We're on crack.
I didn't get a feeling from you. Yeah.
I'm not sure what to add other than I was very moved by his performance. So I was very pleased in spite of the various concerns about the film. So very positive reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really liked it overall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds me, what was that one film we saw that was the Israeli...
KGB guy.
Oh, the tore apart.
Yeah, the tore apart.
Walk on water.
But I really liked it. But this one was just horrible. I really liked it.
Walk on water.
I've never heard of the film.
Which one? Walk on water.
Walk on water.
Yeah.
Very strong.
Really?
Yeah.
It was really interesting because it kept going, this didn't work. But I really liked it. Like it over and over again, we like terrified, but I really liked it.
So overall, would we say that about this film? Would most people say?
I don't think it was as fun as that.
Did you like it more as much?
I liked them both. I don't know. But
I think I probably responded more to Walk on Water than Potosi. Emotional. I mean, at the time. Mm-hmm.
I think this is a better made film.
Yeah, I'm not saying that part. This is probably less flawed, I agree.
And, you know, it's sort of, and I hope there's more South African films. You know, I mean, it's definitely a very positive thing, you know, to get that. And for them to get the Academy Award, and that's kind of what they said in their speech. And, you know, I mean, I think it gives it a real impetus. So.
Does anybody know about how it was received in South Africa? I think
there's a lot of pride in having, you know, kind of a major film like that.
I know South Africa's been trying to promote people coming there to make films. I think for economic reasons for them, but I mean, I've heard about some films that like are set in totally other places they made in South Africa because it's economically attractive and that they're trying to attract that industry there, independent film.
What is it called? Ask the Desk? That was filmed there and supposed to be L.A.
Oh, really?
Really? Because they couldn't walk out their door and film it in L.A.?
They couldn't find L.A. the year that the film takes place, 40s or 50s. I'm not sure what time.
Oh, easier to do it.
So they thought South Africa was a lot more like L.A. back then.
Hmm. Interesting.
Did anybody see The Constant Gardener?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did that take place in the townships?
There was scenes of the township. The photography of those scenes of the townships was... really amazing.
In the Constant Garden?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that is Johannesburg, right? That area?
I don't think it was South Africa.
Maybe they didn't say in the Constant Garden exactly where it was.
I just want to say back on Potosi, that scene where he's following the guy in the wheelchair.
I know, exactly. That's a beautifully... The
manifest
feel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially because he's going further and further away from
anybody. Right. And so it's that feeling you get when you're...
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he's in a part of the city you shouldn't be in, and you just feel like...
And we've seen what this guy can do, and we've seen how heartless he is, and... why wouldn't he just utterly, cut himself?
He just spit on his shoes.
Yeah, right, and he had spat on him, so it felt... Weird.
And what did he ask him? Yes, and why do you live or something? Or why do you keep going? Or
philosophical questions, And he's the wise man.
Wasn't he equating him with his dog? With a
something. Well, he called him a dog,
Because of his dog being shot. His dog when the dog...
Oh, he said about the father when he broke
the dog stepped on the dog's back. That was a brutal scene.
Oh, I also heard that no dogs were seriously, that was dog was... They had dogs that
found a dog.
They had a huge amount of trouble because the dog would do what it's supposed to do and it would wag its tail.
It wasn't there at all.
Yeah, because it was doing what
I'm doing it right. Isn't that heartwarming?
So they gave an injection of the tail so it couldn't
die. They didn't explain how they finally got it to stop waiting.
They probably cut it out of the frame.
Right.
I mean, that was a brutal scene, but it also makes you wonder. Is it instantly cliche to see, of course he had a horrible childhood, I don't know how I would write that or film it any differently because it is a cliche.
Mm-hmm.
But it is true. That's how somebody gets that brutal, if they have a horrible childhood.
They never really showed too much of it, though.
No, he lived in the pipe with a sister or with another little girl.
Well, his mother, his father won't let him be near his mother because his mother has AIDS.
Yeah.
Oh, she had AIDS?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was dying.
She had some thing in her face.
That was from AIDS, it was from AIDS.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't get that.
Yeah. So, it was a chilling moment, though. That was very chilling scene.
Partly because you knew what was going to happen. For me. And because he'd already told the guy in the wheelchair. Or something had already...
But he didn't say it was his father who had seen the dog.
No.
He said he had seen a dog.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was enough for me to know that's what was going
on. Uh-huh. Okay.
Like, oh, I don't want to see this.
I know.
I think that was the point which he decided... Not that he decided, but that's the point which he couldn't do anything to this guy in the chair because
so instead of becoming humanized he became dog-eyed and
the dog moved him.
But I would say this is one of the films that I having this discussion has helped me to etch it more in my memory, which is nice. Because I saw it late at night and I kind of left and I wasn't totally satisfied with it. But, you know, talking about it now, there's several scenes that I think I'll remember for a long time.
There's a lot of terrorizing scenes in there.
Brutal place to live.
I'd like to see it again because
I'm sure it's much more brutal than ever.
Or just the anticipation
of the brutality
that might come and did come. Like then that whole house robbery scene. Tying that father up and just really being sick with worry that he too was going to get it and how can he bear. This second tragedy that's happening to him. And
you're right, but there was menace.
The ringer.
There was menace all the time. Like every time I see the woman walking home with her baby, you'd feel menace.
Mm-hmm.
Or even when he was watching her at the pump.
Yeah.
Or at the well or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Before you ever contacted her. Just the fact that he was looking at it, kind of like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It's like, how does anybody survive?
Yeah.
Day by day in that.
Mm-hmm. So then when you're with her, or he was with her in the room, and he would soften, and she'd feed the babies. It was such an emotional relief for the viewer.
And also the beauty, the moment of beauty, and I could show
She had these beautiful clothes in spite of this hard life.
Right.
Yeah.
I found it a little too extremely contrasting, the interior of her place in that area. But
it was a very nice looking place. I mean, where did she get the money?
Yeah.
No,
hers was
it had color.
She
had coordination.
And she had the little pieces of glass that she just gathered. They were
a much nicer
bed, and everything was really nice.
There doesn't have to be a lot of money for that. I bet there were other places like
his room was as big and it was full of stuff.
I like that he had a battery for his.
Well, that's the way he lived. That's the way he chose to live.
Yeah.
What did you say, Mary?
I like that he had to do the thing with the battery to get his radio to work.
People have to be so creative.
Yeah, he literally had like a car battery that he hooked up to get.
Did anybody ever see that film called Turtles Can Fly?
I wanted to see that. Yeah.
I
wanted to see it.
Where did you see it?
It's on DVD. But there's a guy on there they call Satellite, and he's the one in charge in town. He goes and puts up the satellite dish on the TV. It's hard to watch. It's pretty brutal about kids who go out in the minefields and just pick up mines and sell them.
Oh my God.
What are they selling for?
Money.
No, I mean, but who wants to buy them?
Well, I guess either side.
In what kind of war inside?
Afghanistan. Yeah, yeah. Mm. I mean, they're actual kids who just have all, you know, their limbs blown off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't show that, but
yeah.
These are the kids they're using in the film.
Mm.
Did you see A History of Violence?
No, I haven't seen
it. Oh,
did you?
Oh, yeah. Cronenberg fan.
Cronenberg
is a man. Yeah. Well, yes and no. I thought it was going to be a lot more brutal than it was. But really a good film.
One of his best
films.
This one?
Yeah.
History of Violence.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it?
Very thought-provoking.
Did you like it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very much. But I was thinking of the way that some of the characters were able to kill without, like,
remorse, without feeling.
Mm-hmm. Like the first shot.
In the History of Violence?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When he goes to the cooler to get water?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But then that's what it's about.
Those people like this.
Yeah.